So today, Buddha became enlightened. And in some cases, he died and was perhaps born on this day, or some, traditions. So, what is there to know and think about Buddha's enlightenment? Well, hopefully Buddha's enlightenment is a bit of inspiration for you to search for your own enlightenment. What is your own enlightenment? Your own enlightenment is the day when you wake up, when your illusions disappear, when you finally discover who you are. This is information that no one can tell you, no one can give it to you, no one can teach you. In fact, most of the most important things that you're going to learn in life are not going to be taught to you directly by other people. You'll be learning them from your inner knowledge, from insight, from sudden revelations, and your depths. It's sort of all inside you already. So if you're not on a spiritual path, or if your spiritual path isn't giving you exactly what you want at the moment, let me just recommend today to take a moment to look at Buddha's life, and in experiencing Buddha's life and learning about his story, you can find out how your story can progress. And the story, for those who aren't familiar with it, Buddha was born into a very rich and powerful family. In fact, his father was the king. And there were many signs about his birth and a bunch of miracles and things. I'm just going to discount anything that seems miraculous, because if 1,000 angels with trumpets proclaim his birth, then you're going to think, he is different and I can never be like him. But let me assure you, you can be like Buddha. You can have the awakening and enlightenment that he had, as long as you're willing to do what he did. So Buddha was born into a king's family. Very rich, very powerful, and a famous seer was called to prophesy about the child. And the seer said that either Buddha would become a great king, or he would become a great spiritual leader. Now, his father was not keen on his son becoming an ascetic or a spiritual leader or a priest. He wanted him to lead his kingdom, of course. So he took special precautions with Buddha. And this is a very interesting story. Buddha had whatever he wanted the whole time he was growing up. Every pleasure, every sensation, anything that there was to experience, he had. Still, he wasn't quite fulfilled, but he was also shielded from everything there was in the world that could possibly cause him unease. For example, he was not allowed to see old age, illness, poverty, or death. This led him through the most amazing childhood that you can possibly imagine, the charmed life. He was presented with a beautiful bride, and he had a child with this bride. Now, at some point, he was living inside the palace and was shielded from all of these things, and the question was, what's outside the palace, Father? It's kind of the Garden of Eden story once again. What's outside the palace? What haven't I experienced yet? And his father reluctantly allowed him to pass beyond the walls of the palace while trying to present a most amazing and beautiful view of the city. But somehow he snuck away from the main procession he was on and managed to see the real life of the city. And as he saw what was going on in the city, he managed to see illness, old age, poverty, and death. And these are the main, well, I'll get back to what these are later, but he managed to see these four things. And after he saw these four things, he thought, well, life is pointless because I'm going to die, and, you know, there's illness, and there's all this suffering everywhere. And this non-fulfillment was strong within him, so he started looking for what philosophers and spiritual people have called through the ages the purpose of life. his journey to find the purpose of life was also very illustrative to us. He gave up his clothes, his royal garb, he became a normal pauper, and he joined a group of ascetics and lived an ascetic life for some time, meaning not eating, self-flagellation, meditating for hours and hours in a single position, and tried to find God this way by denying the body. Well, at some point he almost died, and then it is said that he was listening to a musician teaching another musician as they were in a boat on the river next to where he was fasting. The musician said, well, if you make the string too loose on the instrument, then it doesn't sound, and if it's too tight, it will break. And somehow this woke him up, that the fact was that he didn't just need to suffer endlessly, and that at some point he would literally die if he didn't eat, and that would just be a broken string and wouldn't help him to reach his enlightenment. And then it said that a young girl from the village gave him some rice, and then he decided, which saved his life, and then he decided to leave that path. And when he left that path, all of the ascetics that he had been teaching and leading on that path decided to leave him because he wasn't living this life that they had decided was the right life for him, or the right life to reach God, rather. So then he studied with every spiritual guru and mystic that there was for quite some time, and learned everything that they learned or that they taught in a very high level, and was very impressed them all, but still he didn't find what he was looking for. And so finally he sat down, it is said, in front of the resting on the Bodhi tree, or under the Bodhi tree, back was straight, and began to meditate. And there he was confronted with sort of a similar series of temptations that you'll look at the story of Jesus' temptations. So the pleasures of the flesh and power. And then he was confronted by himself and his own mirror, so to speak. And looking through the illusions of all of these things, and meditating in a method that we now call Vipassana meditation, which is being aware of what is in the moment, he became enlightened. Now, we say became enlightened because it's not something that he forced or that you can force, but it was the event that happened to him. And in his moment of enlightenment, he saw the truth, and various traditions create very complex descriptions of what this is, seeing the universe and understanding all truth and all sorts of very complex things, and who knows what it really was. But the point is that he discovered who he was, found peace with himself, and ended his own suffering in his life. So that is the Buddha story in a nutshell. Now, I just want to go through a couple of the parallels in our lives with the Buddha story, so we can see what we can learn from his experiences. First of all is the childhood and the denial of suffering. Now, you know, I think almost every parent tries to create an absolutely perfect situation for their children where they're not dealing with suffering and pain and death. Nonetheless, children get ill. They see their parents get ill. They deal with perhaps pets that die and are confronted with death and the impermanence of life, or even grandparents dying, or, heaven forbid, brothers, sisters, or parents dying in youth. And these situations, this impermanence, as we grow up, we find out that we may be happy for a time, but that happiness will end. Whatever caused that happiness will pass. And much of the time we're worried about that happiness passing or trying to find the next happiness. We're suffering because we're worried about what happens when we die. Will we die? What happens when we die? Where will we go? And there's a lot of fear connected to this. We follow various paths, and we're taught by various people. Remember, Buddha, his father, had one path, which was to be the king. That was the right way to live. And to do this, he tried to avoid suffering, avoid his son having any suffering. And even the ascetics had another path to live, which was the path of non-possessions and suffering, causing suffering to the body, which when Buddha abandoned that, they abandoned him because they had that as their conceptual reality of how to reach happiness. Each of Buddha's teachers had his own idea about how to reach happiness, which meditation to do, how long to do it, when you need to get up, when you need to eat. Every spiritual tradition has a certain path which it describes. But in some ways, the most simple spiritual tradition of all, and the most powerful, is to become aware of what's happening right now for us. We find our awareness pulled through TV, internet, other people, away from our experience through our body, which is a magical, magical instrument. What are we experiencing? What are we feeling right now? What is happening? And that away from the area of concept, meaning not what do I think about what's happening, but what's really happening. So when I look at a rose, do I see the rose or do I label the rose? Can I feel what's happening in my body, or am I worried about what might happen in my body? Or I think about a great time that I had in my body before. What we do as we grow up and lose our innocence is we start to take concepts and words and consider those the reality, when actually the reality is our experience in any given moment. And because most of us have rather difficult times growing up and times where we deal with issues that seem existentially threatening to us and painful, we don't want to actually experience and look at these feelings and experiences, and so we end up running away from the moment that is now and our truth that we're experiencing right now. Buddha's Vipassana meditation is an excellent example of how to connect to the now in a way that will make it real, that will allow us to connect to the reality that is here. And once we connect to that reality, we can feel moments of bliss, moments of ecstasy, where we're not thinking, where we're not analyzing, where we're not strategizing, but where we're really experiencing life as it is right now. And variations of meditation, and any variation on meditation that connects you to what's happening right now, what you're thinking, what you're feeling, and allows you to look at that without judging it, without analyzing it, without criticizing it, is going to provide you some of that awareness that Buddha had. And it might take you an awareness through the pain that you're feeling or the suffering that you're experiencing that you're refusing to experience or you don't want to look at, but which nonetheless is there and through which, as you pass, will enable you to reach the Buddha enlightenment state. So this suffering, and we learn this in all religions, is caused by these illusions. And these illusions are the beliefs that we have, these concepts of how things are, that we've been taught, that we've accepted, or that we've decided. But that once we let go of, the path to true peace is right there and inside us and always with us. So today on Buddha's birthday, I just want to encourage us all to connect to the depths of what is inside us, our own beauty, our own light, our own energy, our own magic and transformation, to open up to that, to take some time to just sit with what is, to feel into our bodies and experience that, so that the experience of the clarity of who we are and what our purpose is, what our light is here on this planet, as the Buddha, can be clear for us. Thank you for listening. This was Ryan Orok, and you can find this and other podcasts and thoughts at Bayraba, BayraBa.com.